Lakers have a practice on Saturday inside the Orlando bubble. And guys, maybe it speaks to my priorities in life, but I can't get past the food portion of the bubble before I start thinking about the practice portion of the bubble. These pictures are bumming me out. They're really making me sad.
Well, what you think a late night snack is?
Bag of peanuts from the airplane.
Peanuts or some pretzels or peanut butter crackers.
Oh, that one with the little red stick that you spread the cheese with?
Yeah. Oh, God. I've never seen a shrimp in the aisle. I don't even know what that is. But I think if you played it a certain way, you might be able to get the juices from the beef.
You keep talking about that, man.
No, because you can get the juices from the beef.
You can't fool me with no parsley, man. You
ain't gonna look, check this out, though, Coach. Inside. No, seriously. I could take it. Here's how I would plate that look. Okay. I'd take the rice, and I'll center the rice in the middle of the plate. I'll then take the beef and stack it on top so you don't get the dryness of the rice and whatever little juices you get. If it ain't nothing but a little spritz of juice that go on the rice, you good. Then you can take the shrimp and the olives and put it on one side and the cauliflower, and you good. And I'm plating it to you. I'm wiping the rim of the plate so it looks clean.
Clean,
I'm giving
sure.
it to you, and I'm giving it to you pleasant. Not giving it to you. I'm not throwing it down like a mad lady serving you at the restaurant. No, I'm not doing that. I'm giving it to you real pleasant and say, and then I'm lying to you and I'm telling you it's our New York strip cut
you
or tenderloin very thinly marinated in a balsamic vinaigrette wine reduction.
Travis,
that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to fool you.
You know, because of my career, Travis, I have spent a gazillion amount of nights at these rubber chicken dinners, at fundraisers and political events throughout my career.
I hate those.
Sure.
And they're plated just right. They're plated perfectly.
It's
once
awful.
You bite it, once you bite into that rubber chicken, you know what this is.
What you say with that sad little baby carrot laying on the side?
Yes, you know what I'm talking about. It's still got a little bit of the little leaves on it and stuff. You know what I'm talking about.
Got the little leaf, small little, in the middle of it is soft. But by the time you get to the end, it's hard. Right.
You can wipe down the plate. You can sprinkle the parsley on top key. You can do whatever you want. I'm telling you, you're not making it. And joking aside for a second, honestly, there is something about a safety issue here that if it is this unappetizing, if the food is that bad, that's just one more reason that somebody might try to sneak something in or go out on their own. We know that we've been talking about the other thing that they might try to bring in or go out to get on their own. But if I'm sitting there and I'm getting these meals, I'm saying, I don't want to eat this again, man. I'm going to go out. I'm going to go get something that I want that doesn't look like the rejects from an airplane.
I wonder if they will allow outside food to be delivered.
I doubt it.
You know, it could be delivered.
That's not a bubble then.
It can't be delivered at the front gate.
I mean, if it's coming from outside, there's a chance that it could have something, you know, the driver, the chef, whoever. I mean, the whole idea of a bubble is we're going in and we're closing it down.
But according to what I've read and heard, you cannot transfer the virus from, like, grocery bags or things of that nature. So if that's true, right, then why couldn't they – because people buy their food every single day.
I get it.
That's
I'm
why
not
restaurants
saying that
are open.
100%. But if you have a bubble, and the idea is once we go in, like Adam Silver said this the other day, that if we get everybody in and we know that everybody in is negative for coronavirus, and then all of a sudden some people start popping up, that means that we have a leak in the bubble at some point. And that's why you can't have anything coming in or out. You want to eliminate all of those variables.
Well, exactly.
I don't know then. I'm trying to help the dude get
I'm going to assume that it's going to be better than this. I'm going to assume that, because the other option is to just assume that the NBA has gotten everything right except for the most important thing, which is the fuel that these players need in order to perform. So I'm going to just assume that Chef Boyarkey or Wolfgang Puck or whoever, you know, Rachel Ray or whatever her name is.
Rachel Ray.
Somebody like that is going to be into the bubble. And
Rachel Ray. So Wolfgang actually has a restaurant in Orlando,
Disney World,
at Disney, at Universal. So okay. There's plenty of Emerald Hazard. There's plenty of stuff to do, and I think Disney will get it right. Look, as Kenny the Jet said earlier, this is hopefully just something that's going on till everybody gets there. And then once everybody gets there, then the food will be right. It's got to be
so.
Right.
It's you hope be so. Right. It's got to be better than that for sure. All right. The Ivy League guys pulled the plug on fall sports. They're not going to play anything this fall. That includes, obviously, their college football season. They say that they just can't do it right now, that it's not safe for them to move forward. I understand the Ivy League is not the typical spot where the NFL goes to look for the next great player. They got some guys that go to the league every year, but it's a handful, maybe a couple of small handfuls. It's not LSU. It's not Alabama. It's not Georgia. But if they've already decided, as we sit here on July 9th, that we're not going to let this happen, does it make you pause about what's going to happen in the SEC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12?
It doesn't at all, you know, because these conferences are about money. And, yes, there's some health risk there, but they're trying to get players to sign waivers, and whether that happens or not, I think they will figure out how to continue to move things forward. Football season doesn't start till September. So they've got probably a month and a half to really get things figured out to a point where, you know, they're going to get it. You're going. Somebody is on the team, in the organization, is going to contract the virus. That's just what it's going to be. It's too many moving pieces and moving people. If they forfeit this season in college sports, college football, it's billions of dollars that's lost. They're not going to do that. They're going to try their best to get on the field and play. There's no huge revenue stream for the Ivy League in terms of sports. It's Ivy League sports is almost like the water polos of Big Five, Power Five universities. It's volleyball of Power Five universities. That's why Stanford was so quick to cancel theirs. They're like, $70 million, boom, we're done. We wanted to do this anyway. This just gives us an out. And that's what you're looking at with the Ivy League. They wanted to do it anyway because they're not making any money doing it.
No, I get that. And I get the money part, and I get why the SEC wants to play in the Pac-12, the Big 12, the Big 10. I get the Power Fives. But at some point, it becomes a we can't do this regardless of the money that we want because there's too much risk. There's too much exposure. And then the question becomes, if you don't have a season, I know that this has been a topic that's been thrown out there too. Maybe we could do it in the spring. And now all of a sudden, you got a totally different set of questions to answer that do – especially – okay, let's talk about the Pac-12 and the SEC and whatnot. They do have a bunch of guys that are going to be NFL players. Do you just decide not to play because the draft is coming up and you don't want to put yourself at risk? You don't want to overlap between those two things? You decide, you know what? Here's my tape. You know what I can do. I'm not even going to bother to play if they try to do it in the spring.
Well, that's exactly what's going to happen. It's not. But if college football tried to move it to the spring, you're going to see a number of guys that's eligible for the NFL. Boom. They bouncing. They're done. We're out. PC later. Deuces. That's just what it is because there's no point in with, like, NFL not moving their draft. They're not moving their evaluation period. So you might as well take the next 3 months and get ready for the NFL. You might as well do the Joey Bosa. Or not the Joey Bosa, but the – what's his brother?
Nick Bosa.
Nick Bosa. Nick you might Bosa. As well do the Nick Bosa and just sit out. And I've talked to a number of college players in football that has indicated to me that if they somehow cancel or try to move the season to the spring, they out deuces.
It's just, you know, it's to me, it really just signals so much more than just about the money because the decision that they made was also driven by science and concern about health. And you just got to wonder, I get they don't want to lose millions of dollars, billions of dollars, but you also expose yourself to lawsuits that may cause you the same thing in a class action suit. Because if you're telling college students who are concerned about their health that they have to play to keep their scholarships in order to be a college student, you're putting them in direct harm's way knowing the risks, which is why they're trying to get people to sign waivers and things like that. I know what you're saying, Keith, that people don't want to give up that money, but if you have to give up that money or either way, I would much rather put myself in a position of caution than trying to retroactively try to pretend as if I didn't know when a student gets sick and they don't just bounce back the way that some other students have.
Especially if another league is shut down.
But that's us and our logical thinking. That's not them in their thinking pattern. When you say lawsuits and all those sort of things, this is the reason that they want waivers. This is the reason that they're trying to put in protection clauses. This is the reason that they are still having guys in the buildings at universities today to get them ready for Saturdays. I mean, they're not just going to surrender because an Ivy League conference decided to surrender the season. They're not going to do it. Now, if somebody gets so sick and severe and all these sort of things start happening, and it just all of a sudden this surge continues to you know, go to another level because people in Orange County can't sit down, then
Travis
did at the same time, I think that will give them an opportunity to take a stronger look at what the hell are they, what are they doing. I think that's the case. They even still trying to figure out how to put people in the stands right now, man. So they still literally right now.
I know. It's crazy.
Out how to put butts in the seats even though students aren't on campus.
That's a little different. And I'm not saying it's a better idea because it doesn't. It isn't.
No, it's not different. My point
it is
that
different.
Is, no,
it is different because I can make a decision whether to go in or not. If I want to go watch, if I'm the quarterback of the football, I really don't have a decision. I have to go.
But my point of that is they're not looking to slow down. They're looking to move forward. They're not looking to stop. Literally right now, they're trying to figure out how to put butts in the seat because the plan is to play. Even though the Ivy League is saying, we're not going to play. Alabama ain't saying that. USC ain't saying that. You know, Clemson ain't saying that. They saying, we're going to play.
They are. And with you mentioned some of those names and the environments that they're in, especially that Clemson situation. That, to me, is even more egregious. Because you're the dude that let them say the N-word on campus during your practice, and you didn't properly fire the guy or properly punish him in a way that's meaningful. And now you've decided that you're going to put all of the N-words at risk by making them play football to keep their scholarships. That's I'm just keeping it real with you. That's what it looks like. Like, your care for their well-being just doesn't seem to be very prevalent.
And that's why the Ivy League decision matters to everyone else. I understand that the football is different. I understand that the athletes are different. But if Group A says we're not doing it because it's unsafe, and Group B says full steam ahead, and a bunch of people get sick in Group B, people are going to sue Group B because they say, look, Group A knew this was a bad idea. Why didn't you know it was a bad idea? You guys put them in a level of unnecessary risk, and now you owe me. Now you need to pay me. If everybody went and played, you can say, hey, look, we did the best we can. We tried to make sure that it was safe. It turns out it didn't work. But when there's a group of people, and I think we would all agree, you know, some pretty smart people in these organizations in the Ivy League saying, you know what? This is just a really bad idea. We don't need to do this. And it's not just because, hey, there's not as much money on the line that the Pac-12 or the SEC has, that this is a public health issue and we're shutting it down and someone else decides not to. You're putting yourself smack in the middle of the bullseye.
Again, of course, there's risk, health risk, lawsuits, all of that. This is why they're actively trying to get players and families to sign waivers and disclaimers and doing all of these sort of things so that they're not put in a position to move forward and leave themselves exposed to lawsuits. This is why they're doing this, with the fact of Group A not the same as Group B, and Group A cannot convince Group B to not play football because Group B is not on the same level as Group A, and we willing to make money and we willing to take the risk as long as these players and their families sign off on it. That's what's going on.
All right, Tom Arnold is going to come on and congratulate me for my snake draft victory. That's coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, so the snake draft results are official, and our unofficial snake draft judge at times, Tom Arnold, is joining us on the Sprint People's Hotline. Woo-hoo! Tom, good morning. Thanks for coming back. How are you?
You bet. I'm good, guys. How you doing?
Good, man.
I'm not doing so well because I have a bone to pick with you, Mr. Arnold.
Oh, yes.
What did I do to you that led you to try to undermine my victory in the snake draft? I saw your tweet I saw you supporting other people. I saw you purposely trying to undermine my victory. And I want to know, why were you offended by me? What did I do, and how can I get back to your good graces?
Which snake draft? This one?
This one.
Oh, man. Now, wait a minute. You know, I tweet so much. I tweet so often. How did I offend you, sir?
By tweeting support for someone else's team.
Tom, I think you did a great job. Oh. I'm just as an unbiased observer, I thought you did great.
Well, I'd like to. That's how it goes. You know, that's how it goes. That's what we do. We offend each other. That's why it's so fun.
I picked True Lies, so man. So you should have jumped up and down for me. I had True Lies on my board.
Well, let me tell you something. Let me tell you about this snake draft here. You know, this is a very personal situation here. You know, I looked at all these, and Keyshawn, let's start with you. This is a very interesting draft you had here, because now, am I reading this right? I'm reading this to Keyshawn. You know, am I reading this right? Did you have first blood, Rocky,
Conan? No, that's me, Tom. Travis. I had first blood, okay. Rocky, Conan, and Commando.
Okay. Let me talk to you for a second. Rocky and Conan, those are classic ones, right? Those are classic. And first blood, I guess. So that's pretty average. And Commando. Let's go. Yeah, True Lies and Terminator. Keyshawn, you had those. Those are home runs right there.
That's what I'm saying.
Those are all-time great movies. Those hold up anywhere. And then Predator, you got two governors in that movie. Right there, right? I got two governors. And then you got the Assassins, which you want it to be good. But it's silly. It's one of them for the Saturday Night Live guys, right? And that's a fun one to put on there. So all due respect there. And Terminator 2, let's go to, is this LG's, LZ's?
Terminator 2. This is mine. Terminator 2.
Total Recall, Creed, Expendables. Is that LZ? Yeah, here we go. LZ. Terminator 2, all-time classic. Total Recall, Sharon Stone's in that. Is that the Sharon Stone one, not the remake?
It is.
So, yeah, it is.
Yes, you know, which who we...
Peak Sharon Stone, by the way. Peak Sharon Stone.
Yeah. Sharon Stone is 1 year older than me. Do you guys know that? She is probably an alien. I am very, very good friends with Sharon Stone. She's like a sister to me. She just follow her on Instagram. She is amazing, and she is just she has not aged since this movie, 1986. It's Total Recall. She's amazing. Creed, you know, I loved Creed. So that's the Expendables is so bad I could have been in it. Now Travis, now I'm reading. Now I know how to read this morning. Yeah, First Blood I really like. Rocky, forget it. Well, Rocky is like top 10 all time, all movies.
Right.
Conan, you know, is Conan is great. And in fact, Arnold's most recent child looks a lot like Conan. You know,
you know what he does. I follow him on Instagram. He does look like Conan. You're right about that.
Yeah, he does. No, I swear to God, he does. And you know, Arnold trains with him now, and he's a big kid. You know, so in Commando, you know, that they're all fun to watch. Every movie out here, but yeah, I got to see. Yeah, I mean, it's tough. It is tough, but, you know, Keys, you know, when you put True Lies, because True Lies does hold up. I don't care what anybody says. Actually, everybody does like it.
And that has nothing to do with the fact that you were in it, Tom, right? That's completely irrelevant.
As a matter of fact, it does. I was great in that movie. I have to just say what, you know, when you're great, you're great. I'm not great always. More often, but that movie works because everybody worked in that movie, and we had a great director, a great Everybody did great. So, Terminator, so same director, one of the same actors. It was great, too. So,
Tom, yeah, were you in the room when Jamie Lee Curtis had to go through the stripper routine? Were you in the room just to make sure everything went off without a hitch?
I was out of the room. What are you talking about? I wanted to. that room was built up in Santa Clarita. And then we had the earthquake in 1994, you remember? And it destroyed that studio. They had to rebuild it. And I was, again, not allowed to be in the room. But she kind of improvised that. She improvised her fall. Arnold was supposed to be sitting in the chair when he moved, when he flinched. That's because he hurt her fall. And she's amazing. By the way, she's still amazing. She hasn't aged either. It's just me and Arnold are very old now. Sly is like, Arnold's turning 73 this summer. Sly will be 74.
And Tom, have you ever worked with Stallone? Have you ever had an opportunity to do something with him?
I see him a lot. I see him a lot. You know, it's funny because at Arnold's holiday party, there's something with the valet, so everybody's walking down the long driveway, and it was Sly walking down there with his beautiful, tall daughters. And tall wife, they're about a head taller than him coming down, and he's the happiest, you know, dad in the world. These beautiful, tall daughters and wife, and it was so funny. And he's such a, you know, he's a dad now, and his daughters are 2 feet taller than him. I don't think I've done anything with him, but I love him. He's a great guy.
I just want to go back to the snake. Oh, go ahead, Travis.
Go ahead, Elsie. I'm sorry.
Well, I just wanted to point out again, because I'm very bitter about the snake draft situation, Tom. I just want to point out that I was comfortably leading until you and Raj ganged up against me and forced me to lose votes. You were like Ross Perot, just dropping in and taking votes off of
me. I was like easy coming in here. And, you know, I'm telling you, but you, it's not really close, so no offense. But you're LZ, you just aren't even that good at this. Your list, your tournament is pretty good.
And, I'm leading. I've won more than anybody.
Not in this one. Not in this one.
I love that. I played football with Michael B. Jordan in one of those Super Bowl sad games, and where I started tackling people, so they made me quit. It was flag football. But, I saw the best thing. Lil Wayne got in a fist fight with one of his crew during the photo session, and Michael Strahan had to break it up. But this list here is just not as good as Keyshawn. Sorry. It's just a fact. And there are facts.
It is. It's movies true.
They're facts. And you obviously don't know the facts about movies. You know a lot of, you're a smart man, but boy, The Expendables. And Total Recall was a fun movie because, but it just doesn't hold up. I'm sorry.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tom, how's the podcast going? You host the Two in the Bush podcast. Are you enjoying that?
Well, I am enjoying it. And we got picked up by shockingly, by a real podcast network called Cast or something. We made a rap video, which cannot play on your network. over there with real people, real rapper friends of ours. And we're having a great time here. We're quarantined with my kids. Sasha lives here now. She sleeps on the couch, and we're having a wonderful time. It's great.
Actor, comedian, podcast host Tom Arnold joining us here on The Morning Show.
Life
Tom, always good to talk with you.
Life
Thank you so much.
Good.
All right,
Tom.
Be good. We'll talk next
Thank
time.
Thank you, guys. You're the best.
Woo-hoo! All right, Tom. Take care. So he likes Keys
I'm going to take Tom, too, with me.
Just for the record, The Expendables made about $1 billion worldwide, and it's the highest grossing movie any of them have made.
A lot of these movies, well, I shouldn't say a lot of them, almost all of these were commercial successes, maybe with the exception of The Assassins. The rest of these all made money.
Hey, easy, Holmes.
Just saying, Jorge.
You got me picking the Assassins, man. What's wrong with you? I was trying to give you some love.
Watch it. And then
I can't listen to you no more.
Man, all right, Max Muncy got dinged during a workout yesterday. Does that mean the Dodgers can't score? It might. I'll explain that's coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. Kind of a bad news, good news situation, guys. Max Muncy got hit with a pitch yesterday at Dodger Stadium. He's fine. He's not expected to miss any time. It didn't break his hand or anything. But part of the problem is he couldn't see the ball coming at him. During the renovation at Dodger Stadium, they kind of tweaked the batter's eye behind the center field fence so batters can see the ball coming in from the pitcher's hand. He said he never even saw it coming. That's something that needs to get fixed like yesterday, because not only is it incredibly dangerous, but if guys can't see the ball, guys aren't going to be able to get any hits. Guys aren't going to be able to score any runs. Those games will be brutal.
Well, this is the first time, though. I mean, this isn't the first time that he's been in the batter's box, right? I mean, you've had to think since they've gone back out on the field that he's taken some BP or something. So I'm a little confused as to how come he couldn't see the ball and other players – didn't have these issues, it doesn't seem like, right?
It's the perfect storm, Key. So think about it. It has to be the right pitcher with the right arm angle. Maybe it's a right-hander, a left-hander. Maybe it's the opposite. Maybe a right-handed batter wouldn't have a problem. A left-handed one would. It's the time of day. There's a million different variables that can come, but this has not been a problem there before. They altered it because of the stadium renovations. They need to get it back as close to what it was before to make sure that they can score some runs, and even more importantly, make sure that somebody – because getting hit on the hand is bad. Getting hit in the face would be a lot worse.
Well, I'm saying through – right now, with the renovations going on, there's been other people taking BP and up there at the plate. He wasn't the first person I know.
No, but you never know what the perfect storm, what that may present him that didn't in any other time. Yeah. Like the time of day, where the sun is, where the shadows are, like all those things. I remember, you know, some of the same things happening when it came to like brand new tennis courts and there was a glare that only showed up for like 15 minutes, but if it hit you at the right time, you didn't see the ball and you lost the point.
No, I get it. I get it. It's like trying to track a football in the sun.
Yeah.
You're going into the sun and it's starting to drop slightly below the stadium, but yet and still it's not all the way down yet and it's really bright in your eye. So I totally get it. I just they're going to have to obviously fix it, which I'm sure that they – are doing. And then when you have people that are building things, not anticipating, if you think about it, and you go back to when the pandemic first kind of took off, the Dodgers were in spring training. They were building the stadium to get the stadium ready for the season. They had to halt everything, stop construction on certain stadiums other than, I think, the L.A. Rams' new stadium was the only stadium that they continue to have workers at. The Dodgers kind of stopped. And then all of a sudden, they came back and said, oh, we're going to do spring training at our stadium. But the construction hadn't really started back up for them to even be able to put that back in place, and the Dodgers are practicing. So once that happened, you're left with a void in the middle of the outfield with that big opening and glare where you can't see the ball come off the pitcher's wrist. So I certainly understand that and see it. Hopefully they will fix it before opening day, which is in 2 weeks.
You know, it's a bad idea when you try to do the right thing and then you make it the worst thing that you've done. That's what Lady Antebellum did. This is so good because this is a group, very successful group, that decided, you know what, the word antebellum, the way that things are going right now, we probably should change that. And they went with the, we didn't quite understand what it means. Sure you didn't. You just happened to pick a word that meant the South right before the Civil War. I'm sure it's a complete coincidence that there was nothing there. They change it to Lady A to get the word antebellum out of there. Problem is, there already was a Lady A, and now they're suing her to get her name to be their name. Nice try.
Well, I mean, that's stupid on their part. But again, what you gonna do though? You trying to wiggle your way out of the criticism that you got for that name that you changed, the antebellum name. Now all of a sudden you grab somebody else's name. The first thing you should say is, okay, we can't have Lady A, so what would be the closest thing to that? That's what they should be trying to do.
Or you can sue Lady A.
Instead of trying to hijack somebody else's name.
And think you can force them into it. Now, in full disclosure, Lady Antebellum did trademark Lady A 10 years ago. But I believe common law will protect the original Lady A, who's been Lady A for more than 20 years.
Right.
And they knew all of this, and they still decided to go ahead with this conversation. And it's just, it's so disheartening because as, you know, a little chocolate brother who loves country music, they keep doing stuff like this. And eventually I may have to just bail because it's not a good look for me. You know? It's just, I love the storytelling of country music. I love being in country concerts. I think the instrumentation of like the Zac Brown Band and groups like that is phenomenal. The vocal work of Little Big Town is phenomenal. But if y'all don't keep doing dumbass stuff, I can't keep riding like this. Y'all gonna have me looking like Terry Crews in a minute. I don't want to. Don't ever go full Terry Crews. You can go a little Terry Crews, but you can't go full Terry Crews.
The original Lady A sent out a tweet that reads, "How do you just take someone's name after making a mistake with the one you have? I'm the one true Lady A and have been for over 20 years. You didn't do your homework the first time, and now you want to take my professional name and brand. Think again, colonizer." I did not know the original Lady A, but I'm going to make it a point to go make sure that I listen to some of her music because I like how she's rolling.
Whatever y'all do, don't call me a colonizer when I get to taking stuff.
We're going to call you a thief. Call you a thief.
Yeah, I get to take it and shake it.
A colonizer comes and shows up somewhere and tries to pretend like it was theirs. You're a thief. You're taking something that you know ain't yours.
Know that because taking a shake it is built around me.
Taking a shake it is built around options.
Yeah, it's Keyshawn's taking a shake it.
My
power rankings are built around me. Power rankings.
That's like you trying to take claim for true or false.
Key is built around me.
I don't want to spoil the surprise key, but there have been power rankings before.
Yeah, but not like mine. See, I created the power rankings the way I do it.
As a matter of fact, they are exactly like yours. It's ranking things from one to whatever you want to go to.
Yeah, that's been around for a minute, exactly Holmes. The yeah. The only thing that's really original is Mysterio. And as I said, if I see Jay Will with a mask on, I'm going to come to New York and I got some things because I'm going to be Lady A.
You know what, man? I'll end this right here. Take it or shake it. Jorge, you got the little thing for taking a shake because I think it says my name in it. Oh, okay. That's it. That's what I thought.
Yeah, but if I own a Toyota and it says it's Travis's Toyota, I didn't invent Toyotas.
Yeah, but it's yours, so you can take it. That's all I'm saying.
You go ahead. You can have take it or shake it. We're going to have make it or break it. How about that?
Ooh, there you go.
You can keep your top 10. On Tuesdays, I don't need that. I'll create my own top 10.
It better not be on Tuesday. I already got that locked up.
I like it. Take whatever you'd like, Key. You're welcome to absolutely everything. All right, George is going to join us next. A little crosstalk coming your way on the morning show on 710 ESPN. Guys, I'm not going to lie. I know that we have a deadly virus that's out in the universe and that we're trying our damnedest to get sports restarted and whatnot. The problem with the relaunch of this is going to be the food in Orlando. I can't stop looking at that picture. Every time I look at it, I'm like, nah, this ain't going to work at all. There's no way we have a basketball season if that's what guys are getting fed.
I seriously don't understand how they got to this place. I seriously don't. Like, even if it's just for the first couple of days, it's such a bad tone setter. Look at that shrimp, y'all.
That's also because you hold the NBA in such high regard as a billion-dollar corporation that you would automatically assume that they're going to roll out the best of the best every single time. And that's not the case. You'd be surprised, man, some of the food. We used to get off the planes, and, you know, we starving to death. And, you know, they usually have food set up for us at the hotel in one of the conference rooms, you know, a whole little deal. Man, you get to walking around there looking at that. It's like, man, you know what? No, I'm just going to go ahead and catch a cab to a restaurant and get something to eat. Because the stuff.
Yeah, but you can't. That's the whole point. You can't catch a cab and go get something else to eat right now.
I understand that. But what I'm saying is these leagues, you automatically assume, based on the league, that they're going to put it together right. That's the least of their worries is what food are we putting in front of these dudes.
So let me get this straight. Are you trying to tell me the little meal packages they sometimes will offer media is basically the same packages you guys get? Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
George, did you see the pictures of the latest round of NBA food with the shrimp and the steak and the cauliflower?
No, I did not.
It made that first thing look like a gourmet meal. Instead of getting better, it's getting worse. And I'm convinced that that's going to be the downfall of the bubble, that guys are going to sneak out to go get a burger and fries as opposed to sneak out to go do anything else.
Well, I'll tell you this, Travis. Ramona and I were talking about this yesterday on the show, is that the first 2 days of quarantine, everything has to be packaged because they don't want anyone touching anything or whatever. And then once they're out of the 48-hour quarantine, they can get stuff. I was watching on Instagram yesterday, and I saw a number of players, including Myers Leonard, ordering like lobster bisque. So I guess it also depends on if you're someone who – I'm guessing here. Maybe it has something to do with your health concerns or things of that nature, or how predisposed you are to something. I think that may have a role in this, but again, that's just me recklessly speculating.
I'm predisposed against bad food. How about that?
But even if that is the case, let's plate it better. Let's give it a look.
I'm with you on
you
that,
keep
Key, as someone
some
who used
parsley
to
parsley is going to help it out. I don't know why you keep thinking parsley is going to be the savior.
It ain't the parsley. It's how you plate it. Like I told you, take the rice, stick it in the center, put the meat on top, get the drippings off the meat so that the rice isn't dry. Take the shrimp, spread it around, drop the cauliflower on the side, and present it, and you good.
You know, Key, that sounds like someone who used to own a restaurant.
Well, I mean, it's good, though, right?
Yeah. No, I'm with you. But I did see the tweet this morning that basically all the Tillman Fertitta restaurants are going to be allowed to deliver food, which is the Mortons and, you know, the Landry's and all
that's
that good stuff. Well, but they just got to get out of the 48-hour protocol once they arrive.
Man, all they really need is some food trucks, man. That's all they need. Rolls.
That's not a bad idea.
Brown lettuce from the coach or instead of first class, they're getting the coach treatment, huh?
Right now, that's what they're getting. They're getting the coach treatment for sure.
Did you guys see that story where if you are a marijuana user, you are a leaner and meaner version of yourself? That the notion of a bunch of guys sitting around getting high and eating snacks is not true. That you typically they're in better shape. LZ, have you been onto something for this whole time?
Well, listen, I'm just gonna let you know, I do get the munchies, so I don't know what that study is talking about. But I am not the beast I used to be since I moved to California. I've left a couple of cans of my six-pack back east. I know I certainly don't play as many sports as I used to, so I'm glad there's a study out there that supports somebody, but that somebody ain't me. I'm in way worse shape. That's no doubt about it. I can't even front.
I will tell you this. I'm with LZ. I don't know what kind of weed people are smoking that doesn't give you the munchies.
Let me give you the science. Well, this is the quote from the scientist that did this. We measured differences in body mass index, exercise behavior, cardiovascular fitness between older adult cannabis users and non-users. The results, BMI of cannabis users was significantly lower than non-users. All I know is that I melt into the couch and I can't get food in my face fast enough. I need something different.
I even tried. I don't know about if you did this, George and Travis, but I actually tried to like snack healthy with the munchies. So I had like rice cakes and like carrots and stuff. And like my body physically rejected it. Like it was like, no, this is not what we're talking about. You need to get me some greasy pizza from 3 days ago and eat it now.
That's funny. Key, so what is this what is this thing that everybody wants to talk to me about with you and the Dolphins in like week 7 of 1997? What is this all about?
Oh, they're probably talking about the grab. Because the young man caught a baby out of a 3- or 4-story window with soft hands. And Travis asked me about the best catch that I think I ever had. And I said I had so many, but one that stands out to my is the 97 catch against the Miami Dolphins. It was one hand, no cuff, just – you know, and they were throwing the ball. I believe he was throwing it away. A lot of people believe he was throwing it away.
It looked like he was throwing it to Wayne Corbett in the video
he
I
was.
Saw.
That's he was. What people were saying, but that's not true. He was
no, but Key, he was behind you. There's no way you could have seen him, right?
Well, I know the play.
Oh, well, so, you know where he's supposed
to
be.
Look, we practice it every single day,
right?
So I knew the play. But when the ball came out, I'm not passing up a ball that's in my vicinity.
Right. Yeah, snag
you know,
that.
Just, you
yeah.
know, even though I pass it up many times in practice, yeah. just let it go to him in practice. In the game, I was like, nope,
okay.
not going to do
so,
it.
I have questions. I have questions. Hold on, Travis. Hold on. I have questions. What did Parcells say to you when you caught the ball?
No, they didn't say no. They was just like, damn.
Did he, I mean, oh, they didn't really, like laugh that you jacked it?
No, but if I
would have
dropped it,
right.
if I would have dropped it or it would have got intercepted or I tipped it, then that would have been a problem.
Right.
It's always, if you're going to do something, it better result
it better
in
work.
A positive.
Yeah.
It better
yeah.
work. It, and so at the end of the day, we practicing it. You know, we got about 30 plays in the red zone. So I know, okay,
yeah.
they kept calling it during practice, so they going to call it in the game to get him the football. But I'm going to be a thief.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Raj was like, Key's being selfish right here. Like, he texted
well, I mean,
to me.
Hey, I ain't lying.
You know, Key's being Key.
Yeah, yeah. That's why it's Meshon. You throw a ball near me, I'm going to take it.
Now,
number 17.
Let me recall this correctly. You guys lost that game. Was that the game that O.J. McDuffie, my guy O.J. McDuffie, caught like a fumble? Somebody fumbled the ball and he ran it into the end zone basically
to
win the game?
Did you fumble?
No, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't Key. It was the Dolphins fumbled. One of the wide receivers fumbled. I think O.J. McDuffie grabbed it and ran it into the end zone.
But see, that's Glovey's, though. You can't make that catch like that.
No, that was a nice catch. But I'm sure Wayne Corbett probably just shrugged his shoulders like, man, he's stealing my ball again.
There he goes again.
That's part of
it. The Sedano Show is next. We'll see you here tomorrow morning at 6 on the morning show, 710 ESPN.